Welcome to the Together Podcast, powered by Xponential. The Together Podcast series highlights critical conversations on how church leaders can pursue the great collaboration together. We are all very familiar with the Great Commission and the challenge to go. There has been much taught on the Great Commandment and the need to go with love, but is it possible we've missed another great that Jesus also gave us? It's the Great Collaboration, calling us to go in love together. In this podcast, Xponential continues the multiplication conversation with a focus on the importance of collaboration, coming together as a body of believers to fulfill the mission of Jesus. Imagine the impact if North American churches came together to accomplish Jesus's mission. This podcast series focuses on five areas the church can come together on to accomplish true kingdom multiplication. And now, here's your host, Dave Ferguson.
Welcome to another edition of the Xponential webinar series and an Xponential podcast series. We are excited to offer this live webinar to our podcast audience as well. So if you're joining in on the podcast right now, welcome. If you're live with us right now on our webinar, we are so glad that you're here. My name is Chris Holloman, and I'm part of the Xponential team here in Nashville, Tennessee. And so we're glad that you guys are here. I'm joined today by Dave Ferguson, president of the Xponential Conference and lead visionary of New Thing Network, and our special guest, Greg Surratt. Guys, welcome.
Well, thank you. Good to be here.
And we're excited for you guys to be here. I'm thrilled today to listen to this conversation between two kingdom-minded leaders who, between their two networks, have literally seen thousands of churches planted across the world. And as these guys discuss networks today, they're going to talk about church planting and their journey that they've had with that, and even just some church leadership. Feel free to post your questions to them in the Q&A, and we'll have a time at the end of our call here to answer some of your questions. And I'll come back and help facilitate some of that. But this should be a really fun hour that we get to spend together. Dave, thanks so much for allowing me to be a part of this with you guys. I'm excited to kind of sit back in the living room, listen to a conversation going on here. I know you and Greg have known each other for some time now. Why don't you introduce everyone to Greg?
Okay, I'd be glad to. Greg's probably one of those people that most people in the church leadership world don't need an introduction to. But for anybody who is not familiar with Greg, Greg's been championing church planting for, last 20 or 30 years. About 20 years ago, started something called the Association of Related Churches, ARC, which has helped plant hundreds and hundreds of churches now. I'm a really big fan. I pay real close attention to what they're doing and trying to learn from them. Also, started Seacoast Church. That's about 30 years ago, I think, in South Carolina, there in the Charleston area. And just one of those people that I consider a real good friend and I really look up to. And I'll tell you what, Greg, we've been talking about trying to spend more time together, so I'm glad we got to do this.
Yeah, this is one way to do it. I'll tell you what, I love everything that you guys are doing. It's a bromance, I guess. You're one of my favorite guys on the planet, and it's a real honor for me to be here.
Well, I'll tell you what, just what's the latest with you? What's been going on in life and ministry? Can I just give me and everybody else the update?
Well, we started Seacoast Church about, like you said, it's almost 32 years ago now. We'll be Easter, and about 5 or 6 years ago, maybe, we started a process of turning that over to the next generation, and that's been fun. It really has been. You know, it's a little disappointing. I thought the church would miss me, but doing great. And it's been a part of kind of my story of going from the pastor, the founder, the leader to the mentor. And so it's been a great journey for me over the last few years.
I think I've even heard you kind of use the phrase, well, I know you guys love mentoring. We're going to talk about that in ARC, but also the phrase spiritual father. What does that mean for you to kind of move into that season where you're a spiritual father?
You know, what I see, with a lot of the guys in ARC and then just kind of traveling around is there are a lot of spiritual orphans. Let's just call them that. You know, sometimes you've got a guy that maybe he didn't have a father in his life that was affirming to him growing up. He hasn't found a father figure in the, you know, in his ministry as a church. In fact, oftentimes fathers, it gets real weird, especially when you want to plant a church. And we find fathers competing with, you know, spiritual sons, and that's just really not how it should be. And I have spent some time thinking about what it means to be a father. And, you know, honestly, it's not rocket science. It's similar to, it's the same thing really as natural fathering. And you need a dad who believes in you, who cheers you on, who opens doors that you can't open, who will confront you when it's needed in a loving way. And so just even talking about those things have, especially a lot of young guys that just come alive and say, please help me. We need help in this area. So anyway, that's kind of what I've been, that's what I do.
Do you think, I mean, cause was it five or 6 years ago, you turned over the lead pastor to your son. Mm-hmm. I mean, and in some ways, when you talk about being a spiritual father, I mean, are you kind of reproducing that relationship at some level with a bunch of other people all now all over the world?
Yeah, that's kind of what it is. With the Seacoast deal right now, I am, you know, I speak maybe once a month, but a bigger part of what I do is just consult and mentor all the young team. And as we've seen that develop and grow, that's essentially the same wherever we go. So it's a great journey. I love it.
Well, I'll tell you what, one of the things you've already highlighted is what we're going to emphasize at Exponential. And I think one of the great values of being a part of a network, and you're going to hear Greg and I talk about this. We love New Thing and we love ARC, but we love Acts 29, we love Stadia, we love Orange, we love them mm-hmm. all. And we're going to challenge you to get in one of those, get in a network. But being in a network, you have the chance really to be either a spiritual father or a spiritual son and to benefit from that relationship.
You really do. In fact, you know, one of our mantras is don't do ministry alone. I know there have been times in my life when I did ministry alone, and it's a lonely place. It's a hard place, but it doesn't have to be. Like you said, there are so many great networks, and I was thinking about this the other day. Through probably Bob Buford and Leadership Network, more than anything else, we've all been friends. It's kind of like we grew up together. Rather than being competitors, you can just see that there are different parts of the body of Christ, and some people, you know, fit better with, you know, various networks, but we're in it together. And
that might actually surprise some folks. They might think there's a, I mean, I, let's put it this way, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on it. I mean, I think we're both competitive people. Like, we want to win.
Oh, definitely.
But I don't feel like we're in competition against each other. And I think that's also the case. I mean, talk about some of your, just this is a little bit of a sidebar, but I'd love to hear you just talk a little bit about even our relationship or your relationship with some of the other network leaders across the country. Because I think it'd be really encouraging for people listening in to go like, hold it. All those people like each other. They hang out together. They share best practices.
The only thing I don't like about you, I like your brother a lot better, is that
everybody says that
you're a White Sox fan, and that's a problem. Okay, and that's been an issue in our relationship.
Seriously, dude, have you been seeing what's going on in free agency this winter?
I don't want to talk about it. But anyway,
that's because your Cubs are headed this way, and my Sox are headed this way.
You know, hey, listen, anybody can have a bad century. It may be another century like that. I don't know, but. But, you know, what I was saying about it is we've gone to games together. We've whenever we go to a conference where the others are, I know I try to pop in and see who's there. With Acts 29, we have just been friends with, you know, several of the guys who founded and started it. And like I said, one of the highlights of probably my ministry was – and I think maybe Todd Wilson set this up, where several of us were in a small group with Bob Buford and a few of Bob's really, really, really smart, wealthy friends, and helping. And so we'd bring, you know, what's your issue? Where are you stuck? What's going on? And we'd brainstorm it together. And, you know, how many companies do that? You know, I don't think a lot. But it's been that type of a relationship all the way through.
Yeah. I guess I just heard from Eric Metcalf, who's one of our new think people. I guess we're partnering on something in Pakistan coming up. Did you hear about that?
Oh, yeah. I didn't realize you guys were partnering, but that's exciting.
That makes me more excited. You guys are the bigger part, but we are partnering.
No. That makes me very excited because there's some great things going on in Pakistan. So that's cool. Good.
Well, let's back up a little bit and just talk a little bit about church planting. I mean, when did you feel this pull towards church planting? Tell us that story.
You know, I'm one of those guys, and there are probably you probably relate to this, and I'm sure there are people that are listening that when we're on vacation, on holiday, we'll be driving through a town. And I'm looking at all the buildings as we go by. We're on vacation, right? And I'm looking at all the buildings, yes. And I'm going, I wonder if you could plant a church here. And it drives my wife crazy, you know. And she bought me a book years and years and years ago when I was back in, actually in Colorado where I was from, just before I moved to Illinois. And it was called All Originality, Makes a Dull Church. And the idea of it was you don't have to reinvent the wheel, that there are churches out there that are doing things exciting and kind of learn from. And I'd never really been out of my denomination and the small churches that I grew up in. And so I began to read it, and I got a dream that someday, maybe, just maybe someday, God would let me plant a church that would try to do it differently for our generation. And so once we planted it, then as we drive through towns and I get excited, my wife says, not going to happen. No, we're here. This is where God's called us. And maybe that's the impetus. I tell the guys
in
the
yard. I think our wives must be related, because I think most like brand new ideas I have, she's like, no, I don't think so. It takes a long time.
You know, I'll say to the guys in the ark that, really, honestly, I get a chance to live vicariously through them, because I just love church planting and church planters.
Let's talk about ARC, though, because, I mean, that's now 20 years. Take us back. I think there's a story, you and Billy Hornsby, who was really kind of – Billy, wouldn't you consider Billy your spiritual father?
It was funny. Billy worked for me. It's strange to have your spiritual father working for you. But in a sense, he was one of those figures in my life. And but before I knew Billy, I guess the shorter long story, let me make it as short as I can. We asked Billy to come and do a small group conference leadership thing for our small groups, and he was very involved in something called Cell Church in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, Cell Church Network. So he came, and he came on the weekend and didn't preach, and he saw our services, and he liked what he saw, and he came back a couple of weeks later to play golf with me. And as we were playing golf, he's interviewing me. It's like, it was a strange deal, because I've got a great job, don't want anything else. I didn't know where he was getting at or going to. And he said, "What's the dream in your heart?" And I said, "You really want to know?" And he said, "Yeah, what is the dream in your heart?" And I said, "It's to plant 2,000 churches in my lifetime. That's the dream in my heart." He said, "That's exciting. How's it going?" I said, "Well, we're 0-3. You know, we have started 3, and the last one was an absolute colossal failure, and it was fairly fresh. And so this was kind of a fresh wound." And Billy said, "You know what? I think you've got something with a model." And he said, "I know how to build organizations. Why don't we do it together?" And that was really the beginning point of ARC, as Billy, who was great organizationally, took a dream and a vision, and then a bunch of other people got involved. And And it's just kind of taken off.
Talk about that, because there was a pretty special nucleus of leaders that really started ARC. Tell us that part of the kind of the next chapter then.
Yeah, they were almost all related to Billy Hornsby. What happened was, so Billy and I got together and we figured out a financial model that we thought would work, and then he introduced me to his son-in-law, Chris Hodges, and Rick Bazette, and who's probably related somewhere down the line, and Dino Rizzo, out of Baton Rouge, and Scott Hornsby. And we had a meeting in a little Sunday school room in Clinton, Louisiana, which doesn't even exist. I mean, it's somewhere down in Louisiana, I think. And we began to dream about what if, and I shared my vision, and Billy talked a little bit. And Chris and Rick both wanted to start a church. And so we said, we don't have any money right now. What we'll do is we'll take it out of Seacoast, and we'll give you your startup funds, and we'll guarantee your first year of ministry, so you don't have to worry about that. And then the only caveat is when you reach your budget, we help them with a budget. You need to pay it forward, so we can plant more churches, and you invest in the next church. And so the first year we planted two of them, Church of the Highlands and in Birmingham, Alabama, and New Life Church in Little Rock, Arkansas. And
that was a pretty good year, huh?
That wasn't a bad year, although, yeah, it was. It was a great year. But they didn't take off right away, but they did real well. And ultimately, they got up to their budget. And so they pitched some money back in. Seacoast did also. And then we started three the next year, and five the next, and 10 the next. And I think the second year was Randy Bazette, maybe at Bayside in Florida, which has done real well. Just a strong group of young guys, and with a dream and a vision. And so here we are.
And so, I mean, as you look over your shoulder, I mean, what is it now? 800-900 churches that ARC has been a plant? Is that right?
We're real close to 900. Yeah, we'll be 900 this, better than 900 this year.
Just because we're both wired a little this way. So when do you think you'll see 2,000?
Before I die.
You're not going anywhere until that happens.
That's right. I'm gonna hang around. You know, if you just took the metrics right now, it'll probably be somewhere in the next decade.
That's phenomenal. That is so phenomenal. You know what? I mean, I know you had the vision for 2000, but let's talk. And so, I mean, a lot of it has been very intentional, and I love, there's a real pattern to the story too. I mean, it was kind of a guy who came alongside you to help make you successful. Now you're doing the same with other folks, and it's happening beyond that. What things along the way, because I mean, I know the 2000 was the vision and continues to be, but what things along the way really surprised you? You're going like, okay, that I didn't see coming. God has been so, so kind.
Yeah, I mean, the favor with the team has been incredible. And I know at first what we did was, you know, where did the candidates come from? Well, they were on our staff, you know. And then as it began to grow, more and more people that we didn't know, but some of us had relationship with. And just to see the quality of leaders who just are passionate about the Lord. You know, I'll be honest with you. Every once in a while, I'll get interviewed in a secular setting about mega churches and all the, you know, the problems with mega churches and mega church pastors. And I'm sure there are those problems, but I've met some of the finest people that I know that just have a passion for God. And just want to help the next generation. And I think that's kind of what's been amazing to me, is just to watch that happen.
I'll tell you, Greg, if there's a church planter or a potential church planter, someone who's thinking about planting a church, watching the webinar, or maybe listening on the podcast later on, what are the benefits of like, just, I mean, if you're sitting down with them and saying, hey, here's why you really ought to think about ARC or just being in a network. What are the benefits? Why you definitely don't want to do this alone?
Yeah, we say you can do it the ARC way or you can do it the hard way. And I would put new thing in that too, but it doesn't rhyme. Okay. But that's so true. The benefits are you're going to get, you're going to be a part of a family, a tribe. And one of the things we like to say at ARC, which has kind of been a fun deal, is that you don't have to leave your tribe to be a part of ours. And so we see a lot of cross-pollinization, and there's a whole deal to that. But yeah, you're gonna be a part of a group of people who some have been where you are, and they understand that, they know that. You're gonna get training that I think all of our networks do an amazing job of training leaders. In fact, when Billy and I started, one of the things that we looked at were startup businesses. And at that time, I think the number was 90 or 95% of startups don't make it past 3 years. And the reason seemed to be lack of resources a lot of times. Sometimes they'd have a really dumb idea, and so it just wouldn't work, you know. But a lot of times people had great ideas and they didn't have the resourcing to make it happen. So we thought about church planting, and we said, you know what, these guys need resources of relationship, they need resources of finances, they need resources in training and in just best practices. And so that's kind of been our direction. And when you go with a network, you get all of that. And so my question would be, why not? I mean, why would you want to do it by yourself?
Right. Because to a certain extent, take it from a couple guys who pretty much did it on their own. Mm-hmm. And I mean, yeah, that is, I think about our first year, I burnt out our whole band. Our whole band quit. Yep. And I was mad because they weren't working hard enough, but they were all volunteers. Yeah. But I was making them do Sunday morning. I was having them do our midweek. And I was also doing setup and tear down. And I wondered why they were complaining.
Yeah. And you needed somebody in your life.
I did. I needed someone to go like, hey, these people got a family, they got a marriage, they're trying to hold, you know, and you know, you do stupid things.
Yeah. Well, you do. And in my first 3 years, I mean, kind of the story of Seacoast is we had a big launch and then we declined it, and somebody forgot to tell me, I didn't know anybody, but they forgot to tell me that, hey, about half your launch teams, you know, that's the first week. That's wonderful. And so it sent me into an immediate depression when we weren't growing. In fact, Seacoast had less people every year the first 3 years than we did the year before.
Oh,
and
wow.
I wanted to quit. I felt lonely, but I had too much pride to say we're not going to let this happen. In fact, we never grew back to that original launch attendance until year five. So we like to say we're the slowest growing mega church in America. But and I remember, Dave, I remember a guy after I met Billy, and Billy was here on staff, and a guy came up from a large church in Florida, and we were golfing. And it's not that I golf all the time. It's just a great way to talk to people. And he asked me, he said, can I be honest, are you lonely? And I said, you know what? Let me answer it two ways. There was a time when I felt like I was on my own, when I felt like, you know, who really cares about what's going on here and all that. But I said, when I got in the network, when I got into ARC, that's just almost a non-issue anymore, because there's just nothing like doing ministry together.
So take us a little bit into the future too. So, I mean, the first 20 years of ARC has been remarkable. We know you got some targets there, but what other things do you see happening in the future, and what are some of the things you're excited about?
Todd Wilson, who is very much
part of that guy.
Have you heard of him?
Yes.
Well, a few years ago, I was trying to figure out what I wanted to be when I grew up, you know, and this really got ARC going and Seacoast going, and all of that, but still feeling like, well, maybe we need to transition to the next generation. And then what'll be left for me? I mean, what am I going to do? You know, go sell vacuum cleaners, but they don't even have those anymore. I mean, they work on their own. And Todd hooked me up with a life coach, and which was a very painful experience. 2 days with your wife and you and them just talking about you, you know, and it really was a painful experience.
Hey, Greg.
We came out.
Hey, Greg.
Yeah.
Sidebar. I did that for 2 days. Same thing with my wife. Here's what she said. She said, oh, there's 2 days I'll never get back.
We are married to the same person. Right? Yeah. But, you know.
Go ahead with your story.
Well, out of that, he told me, he said, you know, he talked about the six phases of a man's life. And I don't know where that came from. I know Eldridge has written on it. I don't know who originated it. But, you know, you start out. I can't even remember what all the steps are. You're an adolescent, and then you're a cowboy. You know, you get your first car, your first girlfriend, your first job, and then you become a warrior where you're able to take care of yourself. And then you become a king. You build a kingdom, and that's what we've done in a good way. You know, I hear a lot of people say, well, you know, you got your own kingdom. That can be bad, but we're building a piece of God's kingdom, and we do build kingdoms, and what makes them good or bad, I think, is the king, you know, and how that whole thing works. But then you come to a point where you become a wise sage. Now, a kingdom has a lot of warriors. A wise sage doesn't have a kingdom, but he is a counselor to lots of kings. And he said, that's what you're going to be. And I thought, wise sage, that sounds good. I don't know that I'm that wise, but I saw where at this stage of my life that I could make a sizable contribution to the kingdom. And I wouldn't be building a kingdom anymore, but I'd be helping others build theirs. And so that's what I'm excited about. ARC is starting to do international and have international hubs. That's exciting. And some stuff going on that we're both involved with from time to time in the UK, which is very, very exciting.
Give us a little glimpse of what some of the stuff you're doing in Europe and other places around the world.
We help do a round table in Peterborough with Dave Smith, who's just incredible. And it's kind of a joint venture between ARC and Gateway Church and then
I'll put in a plug for that, because I've been over that and you guys had me do some stuff there. And if we do have any of our European friends either watching or listening in and they can get access to that, you need to jump in. It's a great thing.
It's just been an amazing thing, the relationships that have been built. And then to see churches, we've taken like the learning community model, and it's just been very, very cool to watch the churches relate to one another and grow. And so we're doing that, and that's very exciting to me.
I know, Long, we've kind of touched off and on the mentoring piece. Is there any more you'd like to share with us about what ARC is doing? Because I know mentoring has become a real priority for you guys.
Yeah, you know, interestingly, it kind of goes back to Billy Hornsby. Most people don't know him. He passed away a few years ago, way too young, 61 years old. But Billy was a huge personality. You know, he was one of those guys, he came into the room and he made friends with everybody. And if you didn't like him, that made it more of a challenge for him. He's just going to go make sure you're going to become his friend. And I remember at his funeral, you had representatives from all the networks there, because he had, you know, he'd impacted just a lot of people. And the downside is that when Billy died, and we had about 250 churches, I think, at that point that we'd started, there were a lot of what I call our Billy orphans. That Billy loved, Billy called, Billy, you know, mentored, and now they're out there all on their own. We're talking hundreds. You know, that's how effective we were individually at mentoring. You know, we're all building our own church. And so what are we going to do with that? How are we going to handle that? And we thought about, well, maybe we need to just, you know, staff up or gear up from the ARC, team and figure out how to do that. But what we thought is, no, we plant churches. That's what we do really, really well. We've got a training deal. We launch well. That's kind of what we do. Let's take the ARC partners, the board members to start with, and then others, and let's challenge them to form their own networks. And at first that was like, oh my goodness, is that going to split ARC? You know, we had some meetings on there when young guys came in and said, it's been fun to be a part of ARC, but we want to do ARC ourselves. And as I began to think about it and pray about it, I thought that's the answer, to reproduce, and that's your word, so I'm not going to write a book on it, but to reproduce networks within
Amen.
Networks. I'm saved. I'm on board. But so you've seen a lot of these guys forming their, pastoring, 20 guys, 30 guys, having their own network, some of them larger than that, although large isn't the goal when you form that type of thing. And that's been fun to watch happen.
That's awesome. Do this for me. Kind of get out your church planting crystal ball, and as you gaze into it and you look into the future, what do you see as far as networks, the future of networks, the ones that exist, the ones that don't exist, what they will become or won't become? What do you see?
Well, I think that there's going to be even more cross-pollinization in networks.
When you say cross-pollinization, what's that look like?
Well, you ever been to a NASCAR race?
Actually, I live in Chicago, so I think there might be one in Joliet, but the answer would be no.
Well, you need to go as a part of your spiritual formation. So you go to a NASCAR race. There's a lot of principles there. People go to see the wrecks, we could go off on that, but those cars have a lot of stickers on them. And we woke up one day and stickers are sponsorships, whatever.
Okay, sure.
We woke up one day and we said, you know what? A lot of the church plants that we have a denominational sticker on it, and they may have even another network sticker on it, and yet they feel like they want to be a part of our tribe. And that's kind of when we kind of made a decision and say, you know what? You don't have to leave your tribe to be a part of our tribe. And you've got to work out a lot of the details of that. But I think there's going to be even more of that in the future as we see how we can learn from one another, network with one another. And then I think apostolic leaders are rising up, through church plants that naturally attract other church planters. And maybe the future is going to be, what does that look like? What is it? Is there a conference on how you do that? How you train up apostolic leaders? But I don't know where it's going, but I'm excited about being a part of it.
I think what you're saying though too, because it does feel like what's being created through networks and reproducing networks is more of an atmosphere that affirms that apostolic gift and gives them a place because it seems like we don't have to look too far over our shoulder when if you kind of have this apostolic entrepreneurial gift, you might plant a church, or more likely you'd end up in some kind of a not-for-profit or parachurch.
Exactly. But now that's not necessarily the only route. In fact, I'm not sure that's the best route for a lot of people. And you're a serial spiritual entrepreneur. And so am I. And I'm just going to own up to it. And I'm going to keep creating things until the day I die. I like to say, if you've got a pulse, God's got a plan. So
there you go.
Let's just keep doing this.
Hey, I'll tell you what, before we shift gears here, we got a bunch of church planters watching, and we got a whole bunch of others that are going to be listening to the podcast. Give them kind of like, Greg's here. Some of them don't have access to Greg all the time. If you were sitting across from them and you got a chance to give, let's say a 5-minute mentoring session, and you're kind of like, hey, listen, buddy, whatever you do, you know, do this or don't do that. I mean, just give them a little bit of a pep talk.
Yeah, I would say, first of all, make sure you're part of a network. Okay, choose one. Do it. Or choose two. Or three, yeah. whatever you choose. But be a part of a network, because you're going to learn the nuts and bolts there. And so I probably wouldn't talk a lot about nuts and bolts. I'd talk about what you're going to face. And here's what I think. You know, it's an exciting thing. It's especially when God plants a vision in your heart for a city, and you begin to share that with your spouse, and they get it, and the two of you together are equally excited about it. Well, maybe not equally, as we talked a little bit. And by the way, let me just say about that. Oftentimes, when Debbie isn't a wet blanket or anything like that, but when she'll put the brakes on things a little bit, that is a good thing. That, you know, God actually gave her to me for a purpose. And listen to your spouse.
Well, and as long as we're putting disclaimers on this in case our wives see it.
Yeah.
it is, because, I mean, both of us are kind of wired as 0 to 1. You know, exactly. Hey, you're right, entrepreneurs, let's get this thing started. But not everybody is wired that way. More people are wired like our wives. And so it may actually be a good idea, but pay attention to your wife, because it's going to take other people a while to get on board with it. And so pay attention to them.
That is such a good insight, that your wife, especially if you're wired the way that we are, is probably more representative of the people that you're going to reach. And so that's good. I would say this, there's this excitement, you build a team and you've got a launch, and man, there's nothing like a launch. But I like to say that discouragement is the occupational hazard of ministry. It's going to be there. There are going to be, people that, we at ARC, we always teach that your launch team, I don't know what the percentage is, but a large percentage of them are not going to be there in year two.
Yeah.
And that's okay. We call them scaffolding. They help you to build the building. Okay. And it's all right. It's good. But in your heart, it's not all right. And it hurts when people leave, and it hurts when you see somebody on Instagram that, you baptized, five people this week and you thought it was awesome, and somebody else baptized 2,000 and you feel like you're not even a Christian anymore, And so those things are going to come, and so you need to plan for it. And what I would say is, number one, don't compare your gift to anybody else. Paul says that's stupid. Don't do it. You are unique. You are uniquely called by God to your community. And then secondly, we're going back to, you need friends around. Some of the more exciting stories that I hear from guys, exciting to hear about launch days and large attendance days and all of that. But I'll hear guys in retreat settings say, this guy, this guy, this guy, and this guy. And oftentimes they meet them at the launch training and they become lifelong friends. You know what I mean? Because they're doing the same thing. And they'll say, we'll call each other on Sunday night. And by the way, never make a major decision on Sunday night. On Sunday night, all I want to do is watch a violent movie. Okay, that's it. I don't want to do anything else. Never make. But you'll have
good,
these guys.
Good advice.
You'll have these guys that will call each other, and they'll say, "Man, that may have been one of the worst services. That might have been the worst sermon ever preached." And just to have guys that will give you perspective. That, you think that this week is going to make or break the whole thing, and the people aren't even thinking that, and to encourage one another. And so I would say, build that, do that. Don't let discouragement take you down. God's got a purpose for you. That my life verse is Galatians 6:9, which says, don't be weary in doing good. For in due season, you will reap a harvest if you don't quit. And in that, there are a couple of things that I'm responsible for and a couple of things that God's responsible for. I'm responsible to learn how to do good and make good repeatable, which is systems. Don't be weary in doing good.
That's good.
And then not quitting. And God's responsibility is the harvest, the timing, and the size of the harvest. And so what do we spend all our time fretting about? Is the harvest and the size and the timing. And when you take authority in an area you don't have, or when you take responsibility in an area you don't have authority over, that's called stress. And so leave that to God. Leave that to God. And let's just learn how to do good. Let's make good repeatable, and let's just don't quit. And there's my coaching story to your church planner.
Church planner, nothing. I feel like you just like coached me up.
We all need it. We're all church planners. We're all there.
Yeah. Yes. Chris, I think we got some questions maybe for Greg. I think you're monitoring those.
Yeah, we've got some questions coming in, and I'm going to actually take the opportunity before we jump into those. And I want to just ask you a question or two, Dave. Just hearing and watching over the last couple months here at Exponential, as we've dove into this idea of collaboration, one of the things that I've read a lot about and have seen from you has been just a passion for networks and a passion for people joining them. Where did that passion come from? And why are you so passionate about it?
I mean, long story short on that one. I mean, I feel like everything I do and the organizations I get a chance to be a part of goes back to, in the phrase that we use at community, helping people find their way back to God. And it's really about helping people become Christ followers. And I know that church planting helps more people become Christ followers, helps them find their way back to God. In fact, we've quoted the Covenant Denominations study that says actually brand new churches will see 3 to 4 times as many people find their way back to God as does an established church 10 years of age or older. So that's why we need new churches. So then to get to your network question, the reason I'm so passionate about networks is because I know that networks actually help reproduce more brand new churches than churches will on their own, and consequently help more people find their way back to God. So for me, it kind of drives all the way back to evangelism, but networks are a way of doing that. I remember a conversation. Have you had to interact, Greg, much with Sam Stevens?
Just a little bit, not as much as I'd like to.
He's the president of the Gospel of Gal, and he was the guy that, I mean, we'd already been down this path of networks, but he like just made me ready to sell the farm. Because here's a guy who just this last year, they've planted over the last, since the 60s now, 100,000 churches.
Yeah.
I know, just when we start thinking we're doing something, 100,000 churches. And what he would always tell me, he'd say, Dave, networks are the backbone to movement. Networks are the backbone to movement. And I am absolutely convinced that what Jesus came to establish wasn't some kind of institution that you outsource your spirituality to, you know, and you drop your kids off so they get a little bit of religious training. No, it was actually a movement that was supposed to change the world. And I think networks are the way to make that happen.
That's incredible. I'll jump into some of our questions that we have here coming in from our folks who've joined us on our webinar. First one is this, do you join a network before or after you launch? We are 5 years in and interested in joining a network. Is it too late for us?
It is never too late. You know, it's helpful, more helpful that you join a network before you launch, because it makes the launch easier. But you need a network desperately 5 years in. Yeah, absolutely. You need the relationships.
And especially, I'll jump in here too, Chris. I mean, if the person who's asked the question, and I assume they are if they're on this webinar, if they're passionate about planting their churches, again, you need to do that in collaboration. It for most churches, and for reasons we don't fully understand, I mean, not every church gets to be the size of Seacoast and have the kind of resources Seacoast has. But when those churches, smaller churches, okay, led by very capable leaders, come together with what resources they do have, together, they can do some remarkable stuff together. And so that's part of the reason, because some of us are trying to do it on our own. And like Greg mentioned, like he said, he was 0 for 3 the first time. You try to do it on your own, you know, and he's fortunate that his people gave him a fourth shot. A lot of churches, I mean, really, think about this, Greg. I mean, you know, you're a church planner and you really, hey, I want to be a church planting church. And that first one doesn't work. That second one doesn't work. I mean, are they really going to give more money to do a third thing? Yep. So I'm telling you, get in a network because it's going to increase your probability of success. And it's the way to go.
Someone asked in the chat about they're a part of a church planting organization. They're part of that for coaching and support planting, but they want to be a part of a network on an interdenominational, a global scale. Dive a little bit deeper into the idea of you don't have to leave your tribe to join ours, or even you don't have to leave your tribe to join another tribe, and why that's so important.
We made one really good decision early on, and we had no idea that it was a good decision. Have you ever done that, Dave? In hindsight, you go, wow, that was a great decision.
By answer, yes.
Yeah, and it was this. We're not going to ordain anybody, okay? That's just us. And by not ordaining anybody, we are not in competition with other networks or denominations or, you know, large churches that do that. And we ordain at Seacoast. But so what we found is a couple of things. One, if you're a part of a denomination or a network and you find relationships or best practices that can help expand what you're doing, why wouldn't you do that? Number one. And number two, what's been interesting with ARC is at first denominations were somewhat suspicious that, if you join ARC, you're going to quit whatever the denomination is. And that happens. Okay. But that for us, that's not what it's set up to be, because we are not a denomination and we don't have those things to offer. And now we are actually planting churches for denominations. Okay. So I won't mention them, but there are several denominations that we plant churches for, because you don't have to leave your tribe to be a part of ours.
Yeah. I'm even thinking about in my own local network, my own local new thing network here in Chicago. The guy who's leading my network is, he's Reformed. I'm not. He's Latino. I'm obviously not. He's in the city and I'm in the suburbs. He would be more complementary, and I'm egalitarian, more so. But together, we're in the same network trying to plant churches together. Mm-hmm. And I see that happen a lot of places. And for the guy who's asked the question too, we probably should give a plug for our resource here pretty soon, because one of the chapters in our Together book, The Great Collaboration, there's a whole chapter that just lists different types of networks. And in addition to the types, I think there's like 10 different types of networks. And I think under those 10 types, I think we have 3 or 4 examples. So you probably have a list of 30 or 40 different networks that we were able to identify, you know, with ARC being, of course, included in that, that they could take a look at and go like, okay, what do they have to offer that could help me? And many of them are exactly what they're talking about, that are cross-denominational, that also have a global expression, so they get to be a part of something bigger than themselves.
Dave, let me throw something in there. I'm just thinking about it. I'm just guessing.
Sure.
But your Reformed Hispanic friend, part of your network, he probably needs to, from time to time, go to, you know, a more Reformed kind of a flow. And if he does, it doesn't detract from the relationship you have. We don't all have to see things eye to eye, but we've got friends in various places. So that's, I think we're seeing more of that.
And I would even say that, I mean, you know, you kind of, you know, if you're only around people that think exactly like you do, I mean, it doesn't stretch you. So I would even say it's good for me to be around people who don't necessarily see everything the exact same way I do.
Yeah.
We've had several people ask the question, how does someone join ARC, or how does someone join New Thing Network? I would maybe even just expand on that and ask the question, what should someone look for in a network? What are some questions they should be asking themselves about the networks they're looking at before they join it? And then how would they join yours?
Go for it. I would say, go hang out with the people that are, go to a conference. I think we all do conferences of some kind. We do meetups, you know, we do, I think 100 of them a year in various cities. Go hang out with some people and see if these are my people. See if I can relate in some way, you know, maybe there's a piece of the puzzle that I need right now. So that's kind of the informal part, and it's the best part. It's the relational part. In fact, with ARC, we'd love every you know, ARC church to officially be a part of the ARC deal and support the vision. But you can come to conferences, meetups, whatever, forever, and not sign the, you know, the paper, because the relationships are the most important part. With us, you can go online at arcchurches.com, and there's a place if you want to plan a church. There's a place if you'd like to become an ARC partner. But I wouldn't do that just cold. I wouldn't do it before I attended some type of where I can meet people and see what they're like, see what God's saying.
Yeah, I think what Greg's saying too. I mean, you maybe go check out the website, because with an understanding, what are you looking for? Because there are, I mean, there's lots of different kinds of networks, and there's even within church planning networks, there's kind of some subtle differences of kind of what they offer, and even some of those networks partner together because they know they can't offer everything. So figure out what you're looking for, maybe get on their website, but then yeah, come to some of these meetups, or, you know, I mean, the biggest meetup there is Exponential, and almost all the networks and all denominations are there, and most of them will probably buy you dinner if you show up because they have some event in the evening.
Yes. A couple just last quick questions. Any advice for a person who has failed in planting and wants to plant again?
That's good.
Yeah, I can tell you that.
Spiritual father, what would you say?
Well, I would say I know lots of you. and sometimes it's the right person, wrong place. Okay? So does that mean you should never plan again? No, absolutely not. Sometimes it's the right person, maybe right place, but didn't have a right strategy, methodology, whatever. Get involved in a network, go through training, you know, do it that way and see if it's not better. Sometimes your gifts would better be served in other places. I know lots of churches have multi-site and constantly looking for multi-site campus pastors, which is just a little bit, depending on the model, is a little bit different flow, similar to church planning. And so be open to God using you in another way also, but don't just write it off as I failed and, I can't ever do it again. How many business examples can we point to of people who failed and failed and failed and failed and then hit it, you know? And so, I can see the same. I have seen guys that maybe didn't do as well here, closed one down. I'm thinking of two or three guys right now that, man, they're killing it where they're at.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, second time worked better than the first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We've got people, if you were looking online right now, we've got people literally from around the world on. People from Zambia and people from Ukraine and Russia. And so some of the questions coming in are things like, man, do you know of a resource of where I can look for international networks to join? And if I can't find one, what advice would you give me in starting one?
We have at ARC, actually a global director who is on the phone every day with global networks. And so that would be a resource. Michael Smith is his name. And he constantly deals with this, but yeah, see if you can find one. If there's not something real close to you, in the age that we live, with technology, you're watching this right now. And I'll just bet one of the networks could connect with you and help you. And it might not be ideal, but we can make it work.
I'll put a plug in too there, Chris. And if you want to go ahead, Chris or Brooks, if you're on, you can just type, you can put Patrick O'Connell's email address right in there. PatrickO'Connell@newthing.org. Patrick's our global director. We're in, I think, 40 countries right now. Hmm. And if it happens to be a match, we would love to help help you plant church and help you join a network.
Mm-hmm. That's incredible. Last question here for us, and then we want to honor folks' time today. Greg, you are in the next 10 years projecting to hit the 2,000 church mark. How are you going to celebrate?
I'm not going to tell you.
Would your wife approve?
She'd be with me, you know. But
that's good. That's good.
Yeah. I don't know what we're gonna do. We love to have big parties. We're this year, 2020 is the 20th year of ARC, and we're doing the conference at Seacoast. We haven't done a conference there in years and years and years and years. We finally have a building where we can maybe accommodate some of that. And so that's awesome. Going to be a huge party. And we were hoping to have 1,000 churches by then. I'm not sure if we will or not, but it doesn't matter. We're going to party anyway. And when it comes to 2,000, it'll be a bigger party. But yeah, and then we'll start thinking about 2001 and 2002. And
that's right.
If Jesus tarries, that's what we do.
Great. Well, as we end our time today, I want to talk a little bit about some resources that we have at Exponential that can help with some of this stuff. The first one, I'm going to put Dave on the spot for just a half a second. Dave, we're launching Exponential Europe. We're talking about different networks and that kind of stuff. Talk a little bit about what we're doing in Exponential Europe and how people might want to be a part of that conference.
Yeah, in October of 2020, we'll have our first Exponential outside of the United States, and it's going to be in Berlin. There's already a tremendous amount of enthusiasm. So if you are listening and you're from in Europe, or if you're watching and you're from Europe, I would encourage you to get your registration in now. I think last time I talked to Oyvind, we had almost 1,000 people already, and I think we're cutting it off at 2,000, and so we're still 10 months away.
Amazing.
So Christine Kane is confirmed for it. Oystein Yerme is going to be there. It's just a terrific, terrific lineup. And candidly, to speak to this conversation, we're bringing church planters in that part of the world together in hopes that out of that, we're able to start a whole bunch of networks that are going to start a whole bunch of other churches.
Mm-hmm.
That's exciting, man. We're pumped about that. It's going to be an incredible event. And just excited to see how God uses that. And I really think what we're going to see in Europe over the next couple of years is going to be a lot of things that we're going to be able to learn back here in the States.
Oh, absolutely.
Use for the kingdom. Another resource I want to let you all know about is this Monday, we released the theme book for our 2020 year here at Exponential. It's called Together, the Great Collaboration. And it is written by Dave Ferguson and Patrick O'Connell. This book really helps us dive into the idea of collaboration. There's an entire, like Dave was talking about, there's an entire chapter devoted to networks. And so you can download that at exponential.org/togetherbook. Dave, I know that this has been one of those books, man, that it took some time to come together, but being able to read it this week has been just eye-opening and encouraging. Anything you want to add to about this new book that's been put out?
In some ways, I think the big idea is that none of us can change the world on our own, but together we can do it. And in fact, if you go all the way back to the very beginning, I mean, God existed in community, right? The Hebrew word Elohim, God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. So he existed in collaboration. He created the world. And if our dream is to recreate the world through his church, we need to do it the same way, in community and collaboration, the way he did it. And so we take you through the whole thing about how you need to do it with God, with your family, with your team, with your church, and with the network. And then we spend some extra time talking about networks on there. So I'm hoping that it'll be a help to people who are listening in.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then the final resource I just want to let you know about is Exponential 2020 in Orlando is coming up. And Greg will be there as a part of that, as part of our main stage. You see just an incredible lineup of just kingdom-minded leaders who will be there to encourage us, like Dave talked about. Man, we can't change the world by ourselves, but we can when we collaborate together. And so we would love for you to be a part of that. We sold out last year, and we are ahead of schedule of selling out this year. I think if kind of projections hold true, we will sell out by the end of this month. And so you can check out the conference. You can go and register at exponential.org/2020. And we would love for you guys to join us there. It's going to be an incredible, incredible time.
You know what? Last year, I didn't register early enough and it was sold out. So I had to bum a ticket from somebody. And so, yeah, get there early. I did get in, though, Dave. I got in.
That's good. That's good.
Listen to your spiritual father here and don't be a bum and wait. Go ahead. Get your tickets now. It's going to be a great time. Well, guys, listen, I just want to say how thankful I am for leaders like you who committed their life and ministry to just multiplying the church. I really know on this side of heaven, you'll never see the full impact of the difference you've made for the kingdom. But thank you, thank you, thank you for following Jesus, for being obedient to his mission. And I'll be praying for you and your teams as you see more and more churches planted. And if you joined us today on the webcast, man, we pray for you at Exponential. We believe that you all are the front lines of ministry, and we just want to equip you, movement makers like you, to go and to make a difference for Kingdom. Thanks for joining us. If you're on our podcast today, thanks for joining us. This has been another edition of our Exponential webinars and our Exponential podcast. We look forward to seeing you real soon.
Want to go deeper into this great collaboration conversation? If so, check out the Together Resource Library. This free resource library gives you access to dozens of articles, 10 plus videos from Dave Ferguson and Patrick O'Connell, access to the free Together training kit, free ebooks, and many more free resources. You can check out this vast library for collaboration at exponential.org/together-resources/.